This week on Vox Talks, how the mobile internet changed politics. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. The internet, in particular the mobile internet, promises to give us access to information anywhere 24 hours a day. So, as the UK gets to go to the polls to try to resolve its poisonous political arguments, and a polarised US enters election year, how has the internet influenced trust in governments, politics and politicians? New research by Sergei Goriev of Sciences Po, Nikita Melnikov at Princeton, and Ekaterina Zuravskaya at the Paris School of Economics, Sergei and Katya are CEPR fellows, has tracked the spread of the mobile internet to focus on its association with changes in our confidence in national governments, whether we believe our leaders are corrupt, and the rise of populism. And Sergei joins me now from Paris. Welcome to Vox Talks.
Thank you very much, Tim, for having me.
Now, the important moment in this story that you're telling is the rollout of 3G. What is significant about the upgrade from 2G mobile networks to 3G mobile networks?
Yes, Tim. In advanced economies, people think that 3G is something which we got used to, but actually it's a very recent thing, both in advanced economies and in emerging markets. Just 10 years ago, 3G was much less common than we think today. And indeed, it was 2G technology that provided limited access to internet and mostly provided communication opportunities through text messages and phone calls. And 2G is also politically relevant because you can mobilize and coordinate for protests. But protests are usually different because protesters are normally a minority. What 3G does, 3G provides an opportunity for everybody to get political information, to watch videos, to read news online, and therefore creates a completely different informational environment. And this is actually what we find in our data. We see that impact of rollout of 3G is qualitatively different.
And now, as you say, even though 3G is a fairly recent innovation, it does cover most of the world.
That's correct. 3G today is covering almost all advanced economies. And if you look at the world on average, we are talking about, probably today, we are talking about 70% of locations. And now, indeed, the next step is 4G and 5G. But it was this qualitative jump from 2G and 3G when you have the main impact on political attitudes, political beliefs.
Now, your research question is a very interesting one, is what is the effect of internet access on our opinions of politics and politicians? But that relies on finding out how people feel about things. How did you do that?
Correct. So we look at attitudes to national government, to political institutions, legal institutions, beliefs that government is not corrupt. And this data comes from Gallup World Poll, which is a global survey which covers more than 100 countries for the last 10 years or so. And indeed, we look at those self-reported attitudes and we match the data with localized data on availability of 3G provided by Bartholomew Collins. So we have this reasonably disaggregated geographical data set where we can look at how arrival of 3G can change the attitudes to the government. And indeed, we see that people who get access to 3G are becoming more critical of their government. 3G does increase internet penetration. Access to internet increases once 3G arrives, and people become more critical of their governments. And this is actually different from 2G. We find that when 2G arrives, people become more positive about their government. They don't get critical information, but they do get those nice services that modern telecommunication technology provides. And therefore, they are probably thankful to their government for this. And in that sense, it is interesting that different technology delivers different political implications.
A lot of people are suspicious about self-reported data. Are you sure that it's reliable and comparable?
That's a fair concern. And we run a number of additional tests. But eventually, We use this scale-up data that is comparable across the world. Some people are concerned about places like China, but Gallup is not actually collecting data in China. But for the rest of the world, we think that our data are comparable. Now, we also check voting outcomes in countries where we can see comparable political institutions, in particular in Europe. We also look how data on how political attitudes and beliefs depend on censorship, which is evaluated not by the respondents themselves, but by independent experts. And we see that censorship does affect political attitudes. So this is also something that comes out very clearly. So it's not us who discover that internet is dangerous for governments. Many governments think so as well and introduce online censorship. And that actually reduces the impact of mobile internet on critical attitudes towards the governments.
Your main result is that you do find that mobile internet has a large effect on the trust that we place in governments and our perceptions of corruption. How big is this effect?
So this effect is indeed fairly big. So we are talking about the impact on confidence in national government of something like 6 percentage points. If you move from zero coverage by 3G to 100% coverage, we are talking about the change in 6 percentage point in confidence in national government, and the mean value of that variable is something like 50%. We also look at corruption perceptions, and on average, in our data set, about 23% of people believe that government is not corrupt. And the impact of 3G coverage, mobile internet coverage, is 4 percentage points. So these are substantial effects. It's not changing everything, but it does deliver a non-trivial change in political attitudes.
A lot does change over time in politics. So can you be sure that this is the effect of 3G and not a general evolution of societal attitudes?
That's a great question. So as people usually do in this kind of research, we check for pre-trends, pre-existing trends, and we see that it is the arrival of internet that is followed by change in confidence in government and not vice versa, for example. We also carry out what we call an event study when we look at locations where there is a major jump in 3G coverage. Say, if a share of people who get access to internet jumps by 50 percentage points and more, and we see that indeed, in those places, there is also a major jump down in confidence in government. And of course, we also try to see whether the effect systematically differs over time. So our time period is the last 10 years, and we see that throughout this decade, the impact didn't change in any direction. So the effect is pretty stable over time. So things change, but they also, as French would say, remain the same.
The widespread rollout of 3G and also the widespread coverage that Gallup gives you means that you've been able to look across a lot of countries. Is the effect consistent across the world, or are some countries more affected than others?
There are geographical differences, but there are also institutional differences. As I mentioned, censorship matters. And as you would expect, internet is more impactful in places where traditional media is censored. So internet is offering an alternative to traditional media whenever media freedom is constrained. On the other hand, when internet itself is censored, then of course there is no impact of access to internet on political attitudes. This is also something that you would expect. And then also an interesting result that we find is that these critical attitudes are actually correlated with the actual corruption. So we use recently collected IMF data, which is based on Economist Intelligence Unit's country reports, which pretty much measure number of actual corruption incidents. And what we see is if you don't have mobile internet, then there is no connection between what actually happens in terms of corruption and what people think about corruption in their country. And the increase of mobile internet makes people in more corrupt countries be more aware about government corruption. So this is something that tells you why some governments want to censor internet, because indeed some corrupt countries do get exposed. Citizens of those countries do get informed about corruption of their governments. We also see a major difference in rural and urban areas. Of course, in rural areas, people have less of an alternative to internet, less of information that they can get from somewhere else. And this is where the impact is actually stronger than in urban areas.
It is quite a depressing result, isn't it, that censoring the internet seems to be so effective and to work so well?
We are not surprised. All of us are Russian citizens, so we've seen how freedom of internet can go up and down and how indeed that matters. But I think it's also an optimistic result in the sense that if you manage to avoid online censorship, then censoring traditional media doesn't work as well. So you can say yes and no, but overall it is an exciting set of results.
You've also investigated the role of 3G in the rise of populism in Europe, which has been a big political story in Europe in the last 10 years. Has it had an effect on the rise of populism?
Yes, this is what we find. So Europe is a special place where you have comparable data on voting, where you have conventional classification of populist and non-populist parties. And so what we did, we looked at the elections in Europe, in 30 European countries over the last 10 years, at the subnational region level as well. And this is not self-reported attitudes towards the government, but these are actually voting outcomes. And we do see that rollout of 3G does help both left-wing populists and right-wing populists. This is something that people have been talking about a lot, and some of the studies have identified the impact of arrival of internet on the rise of populism within individual countries. And here I think our contribution is that we do that in a multinational study, in a continent-wide study, and we indeed find that internet does promote the populist narrative. And of course, in history of populism, successful populists always rely on innovative media technology, on innovative communication technology, simply because the established technology is defending the establishment views. And populists who try to use established media are not as successful as the more innovative ones. But there is also the new feature of the internet that it is especially conducive to populists because it has low barriers to entry, and it also, especially new internet, internet 2.0 with social media, this new version of internet also allows for user feedback, user-generated content, and that removes the intermediaries and creates this feeling of homogeneity of populist leaders and their voters. So there is something special about internet 2.0 that helps populists promote their narrative.
And now that internet 2.0 has been invented, it's pervasive. You can't take it away again. So do you think this challenge to the political elites is permanent, or will the political elites be able to turn the clock back?
Well, I do hope that we will not see internet censorship in Europe. I think it would be a very bad idea for all kinds of reasons. And indeed, the challenge is to stand up to populists online. Some people believe that when voters see that populists cannot deliver once they are in power, they will be disillusioned and vote for more liberal, more centrist politicians, pro-European politicians, if you like. There is a danger in this argument because some populists do fail to deliver once they're in office, but that doesn't mean that they want to walk out of their office. That means that some of them do try to subvert political checks and balances and undermine political competition and stay in power through authoritarian means. And I think in that sense, it's better to prevent the rise of populists with authoritarian tendencies than try to vote them out of the office once they undermine political checks and balances. And in that sense, I think the urgency of going online and standing up to populists is actually quite there. One other result that I would like to mention, this is something that we didn't put in the working paper, something that we work on right now. We also looked at the impact of a rollout of internet on the green parties. Now, green parties have risen throughout Europe in recent decade. Interestingly, the green narrative doesn't benefit from arrival of 3G rollout. If anything, we find a small negative effect. And I guess the reason for that is the green narrative is not as simple, is not as easily manipulable as a populist narrative. And in that sense, we should not be surprised that different challenges to the centrist elite today, one coming from populists and one coming from Greens, have a different relationship with the new technology.
Now, this is not your only involvement for the CEPR on populism. You're leading the Vox debate on populism. What is this debate about? What questions are you asking on VoxEU at the moment?
Yes, this year CEPR has created a research and policy network on populism. In this network, we try to address several key questions about populism. And the questions are very straightforward. First, what is populism? We want to converge on a definition of populism, or at least to be very clear who means what by populism. The other question is, since we observe the rise of populism in recent years in advanced economies, how can we explain this rise? What are the factors that determine the rise of right-wing or left-wing or other populists in Europe, United States, other countries? So what do we know? Is that economics? Is that culture? Is that interaction of the two? Is that the spread of the new technology, something that we just talked about when we talked about mobile internet? So to what extent we can understand the mechanisms underlying the recent rise of populism? The next question is, of course, to figure out whether arrival of populism is something that we should worry about. What do populists do once they are in the office, in power? And finally, the answer to the last question is negative, in the sense that we shouldn't be content and we should actually worry about populists in power. What should we do to prevent arrival of populism and rise of populism? And so these are the questions, and the debate has already started with three very exciting contributions. So the pieces which are online now are by Barry Eichengreen, Dani Rodrik, and Guido Tabellini, and more is to come. I think this is a very hot research area, and I am very happy that VoxEU is providing a platform for this very interesting
debate. If any of our audience are listening to this and are thinking, I'd like to get involved in that debate, how can they do that?
They should email to me. I'm curating this debate in the sense that I'm trying to avoid repetitions and guide the scholars to challenge each other's views rather than to repeat each other's view, and also try to make sure that they make statements which are comparable, falsifiable. And this is what's making this debate interesting. And most importantly, this debate is rotating around the same set of issues, the same questions that I mentioned. And we just started, but there'll be more and more contributions.
Well, as you say, it's a very important debate. It's a very timely debate. So I hope you get a lot of contributions. Sergey, thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Tim.
If you want to read more about 3G's effect on public opinion, then the Vox column to look for is called Knowledge is Power, and authors Sergey Guriev, Nikita Melnikov, and Ekaterina Zaraskaya. And the working paper version, same authors, is called 3G Internet and Confidence in Government. It's CEPR discussion paper 14022. Now, if you're interested in the implications for transparency and governance, I know that Sergey's successor as chief economist of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development highlighted exactly this paper when she launched the EBRD's latest transition report, and that report is focusing on how good governance improves growth and well-being. And you can find that report on the EBRD website. That's well worth a look. If it's the populism aspect of the 3G research that gets you excited, then you'll want to get involved in the VoxEU populism debate that Sergey was talking about, and you can find more at voxeu.org/debates/populism, or simply type populism into VoxEU's search box, and that'll bring up the columns that he mentioned, and also a lot more interesting research as well that we've been doing on VoxEU over the last couple of years. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. There is a new episode every week, so subscribe and you won't miss out. Our back episodes are available at voxeu.org/vox-talks.